Let's get into the message. For the past few weeks, like Pastor Bruce said, we have been in a series called The Main Attraction. The Main Attraction. And in this series, we are strategically walking through the book of Mark together. And the reason we're calling it The Main Attraction is because the Gospel of Mark was just written in such a way that the writer didn't share a lot of personal stories or anecdotes, but he really just wanted to focus in on Jesus, on who Jesus was and what Jesus did. His desire was for Jesus to be the main attraction. And I don't know about you, but I think that would be a pretty great way for all of us to live our lives as well, right? With Jesus as the main attraction. And so this week's message is going to be titled The Call. And we're going to be looking at the account of Jesus calling his first disciples. And so I'm going to invite up Noah Brown this morning to come. Text? Yeah, you can give him a hand. That's great. Noah is one of our faithful youth students. He is here every Wednesday, every Sunday. He also serves in our kids ministry and does an incredible job there. And you know, a couple weeks ago, Noah competed in our district fine arts competition, and he did the category of short sermon, and he actually placed in the top 10 of that category, which was incredible. And so, yeah, give it up for him again. After hearing him speak, you know, I told Sean, I was like, we better watch out because I think he might be coming for our job pretty soon. So, but we are so proud of him. We're honored to have him read our scripture for us today. So Noah, come and read the text.
Okay. First off, I want to thank Pastor Krista and Pastor Sean for giving me this amazing opportunity to do this. And so the scripture we will be reading from is Mark 1, 16 through 20. Passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on a little further, he saw James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called to them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So I'm going to pray about the message, but before we pray and prepare our hearts for God's word, I want to let you know that you are in a church that believes God is real and alive and still speaks today.
Yes, amen.
So let's make sure to listen to his voice as he speaks through the message. But, you know, what does his voice really sound like? Well, it might be him telling you to underline something in the message or a quote that sticks out to you. So pay close attention to what he has to say to you. So now let's bow our heads and acknowledge him as we pray. Lord, open everyone's heart and mind to let them hear what you're trying to tell them.
Yeah.
And let your spirit fill Pastor Krista and let your word be spoken today. Finally, just bless this amazing church, all the amazing people in attendance today, especially our amazing pastors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Noah. Well, the first thing I want us to notice in the text that we just read is, number one, the command. The command. In verse 17, it said, "And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.'" You see, Jesus commanded them, "Follow me." And why was this command significant? Why was it special? Well, you see, what Jesus was doing was highly unusual for a couple of reasons. First of all, in the Jewish custom, rabbis or spiritual teachers in that day, they did not choose their disciples. But in fact, the disciples would actually choose their rabbi. And so Jesus kind of flipped that all upside down when he went out and he called his own disciples. disciples. And man, what a motley crew that he chose, right? Like, they're kind of a mess. I think he probably did that just to give us some hope today. So I mean, I think that if he could choose people like them with all their issues and all their struggles, then maybe he could also choose us with all of our junk and dysfunction, right? And so another reason that this command was significant is because other rabbis, they wouldn't have told people to follow them. They actually would have said to follow the Torah or follow the law and the scriptures. And even the prophets in the Old Testament, they never said, follow me. They said, follow God, right? And so I think Mark is showing us here that Jesus is so much more than just another rabbi or a teacher. And he's more than even a prophet. He is the Son of God, and his command has authority. He is the King of Kings, and he is calling for people to follow him. You know, I don't think that Mark is telling us this story just so that we can get some insights to how the disciples were called. I think he placed this story here for us to see the calling of these four disciples as a template for every one of us who wants to join in following Jesus. You see, their call is our call as well. And the command was so simple, just follow me. It's so simple, and yet in it, we are shown the entire essence of what it really means to be a disciple. That is what a disciple does. He follows. It is the core responsibility of being a disciple. Now, notice Jesus did not say, go to church and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't say, study theological books and I will make you fishers of men. He didn't even say, read the scriptures and I will make you fishers of men. And now all of those things are good things and we should do them. But he did not say those things because those things are not the essence of what a disciple truly is. You see, none of those things is guaranteed to change somebody. But following Jesus changed the disciples, and it will change us as well. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Let me give you three things. I think that they're in your notes this morning. First, in order to follow Jesus, you've got to be with Jesus. You got to be with Jesus. You can't follow someone that you don't know. And in order to know someone, you've got to be around them. You've got to be with them. And this is exactly what the disciples did. They followed him everywhere. They even traveled with him. Now, how many of you know, you may think you know your friends really well, but you can learn a lot about a person when you travel together, right? Anybody ever went on vacation with a good friend or even a kind of medium friend, right? Boy, the nose strips like come out to keep them from snoring. Yeah, you didn't know that about the person. Maybe they have their little sound machines that they just can't sleep without. They have all these little quirks and weird things and routines that you never knew before. You only know those things by being with someone, right? And that was the disciples. They traveled with Jesus. They walked with him. They listened to his teachings and they watched the miracles and they ate together and they talked with him and they prayed with him. And man, it's so amazing to me because we live in this world that is just so chaotic, right? It's so busy, everything is busy, and our time is so precious, and it feels like we just never have enough of it. But what we see in the disciples are men who broke away from the busy, broke away from the chaotic, and they gave their time to Jesus, to just be with him. Everything in their life came second to following Jesus. And just like the disciples, we are also called to be with Jesus. Sure, it looks different now because he's no longer here with us in the flesh, and we can't sit by the campfire and sing kumbaya and listen to him tell us stories. But instead, through silent moments that are focused on him, in prayer and through Sabbath and study, we spend time with our Lord. And we can sense his closeness as we lift our hearts in worship. And we can hear his voice when we read the scripture. And just like the disciples, we've got to set aside time. We've got to set aside attention in our days to simply be with Jesus. If we want to follow Jesus, we've got to be with them, but then we also need to imitate Jesus. We got to imitate him. You know, the role of a disciple was to be an apprentice. And so the disciples watched how Jesus lived with the goal of imitating him. They wanted to do things the way he did them. And they wanted to think about things the way he thought about things. That his attitudes about money and his attitudes about scripture, his attitude towards the sick and the poor and the needy, those became their attitudes. As disciples, their goal was to imitate the life of their teacher. We are also called to imitate Jesus. When we see Jesus walking in step and constant obedience to the will of the Father, it means that we too should live constantly in relationship with the Father. When we see Jesus move in compassion and mercy towards others, so should we. So should we. You know, to truly follow Jesus means that our inner attitudes are to give way to his attitude. Our inner attitudes need to give way to the attitude of Jesus. We are to imitate him. So we've got to be with Jesus. We've got to imitate Jesus. And then we've got to go out and do what Jesus did. Do what Jesus did. That is the process of discipleship. You see, they would be with their rabbi, then they would imitate their rabbi, and then they would go out and replicate their rabbi's life and work. This is what Jesus was asking of them when he said, "Follow me." He was saying, "Come and be with me. Come and imitate me, and then go out and do what I have been doing." That's what it means to truly follow him. And so my question to you this morning is this: who or what are you following? Who or what are you following? If to follow someone means to spend time with them and to conform to the attitudes and the thoughts and to replicate that into the world, then who or what are you following? We've talked about the command that we see in the text. Next, I want us to notice number two, the cost. That's right. The cost. In verse 18, it says, "And immediately they left their nets and followed him." Skipping down to verse 20, it says, "And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him." You see, there was a cost to following Jesus. They had to leave some things behind. In Wyoming, there's this mountainous forest, and it's called the Bridger Wilderness Area. Bridger Wilderness Area. And the idea is that you're supposed to go there and have a genuine wilderness experience. And so after you visit the park, you're encouraged to hand in a comment card about your experience. And so here are some of the comments that have been handed in over the years at the Bridger Wilderness Area. One of the comments said, "There's too many bugs, leeches, spiders, and spider webs. Please spray the forest to get rid of these pests." Okay. Another comment that was left said, "Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to the wonderful views without having to walk to them." And then another comment said, "A small deer came into my camp and stole my jar of pickles. Is there a way I can get reimbursed?" Okay, like these comments are funny, but also the comments make it very clear that some of the people who visited this park did not really understand what it means to have a genuine wilderness experience, right? Like they wanted the wilderness experience, but only if it was convenient. Only if it was comfortable for them. And sometimes I think that we want our Christianity to be like that as well. Only if it's convenient. only if it's comfortable. Billy Graham used to say that salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. Salvation is free, but discipleship will cost you everything. And so think about these disciples. Think about what these men were leaving. They weren't just weekend fishermen giving up a hobby to follow Jesus. That's not the story. They were fishermen. That was their job. It was their livelihood. And when they said yes to Jesus, it cost them their earthly security. It cost them the comfort of what they knew and what their way of life had been up to that point. It also cost them obedience. And it wasn't just regular obedience. This was radical obedience, not knowing where Jesus would take them, not knowing what following Jesus would really mean, and not thinking twice about what they were required to leave behind. And yet they just left their nets and followed him. It's the same for us. When Jesus calls us to follow him, there is a cost involved. And he is calling for each of us to set aside the temporary world and to seek the kingdom of heaven. And he's calling for us to reject the short-term comforts and securities and convenience of this life and to seek the eternal joy and happiness that only comes from following him. Following Jesus comes with a cost. And so my question to you today is this: are you willing to pay the price? Just let that sink in for a moment. Are you willing to pay the price? We've noticed in our text the command. We've noticed the cost. And finally today, I want us to notice number three, the change. The change. In verse 17, it says, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Following Jesus changes us. It changes us. It changes us in every way, but I want to look specifically at two ways that I see the disciples change as a result of following Jesus. The first thing I see is that Jesus changed their purpose. He changed their purpose. Now, how many of you know our world struggles to find purpose, to find meaning and significance in life? And I would imagine that the disciples had that same struggle. I think it's pretty universal. But then Jesus came along. And Jesus changed them from fishermen to fishers of men. You see, men are a lot more valuable than fish. I know there's a few fishermen in the house that are going to be like, are we sure? I don't know. But I promise you, men are a lot more valuable than fish. Catching fish brought temporary value in the money that they could sell for them. But catching men was a mission that had eternal value. You see, he gave their lives meaning and purpose by giving them a chance to partner with him in bringing people into his kingdom. Jesus changed their purpose and he gave them significance. Amen. Not only did Jesus change their purpose, but also Jesus changed them personally. He changed them personally. As they surrendered to Christ and as they began to follow him, they were changed from the inside out. From the inside out. Notice that the scripture says, "I will make you become fishers of men." That tells me that Jesus would do the work. He would change them into disciples who then made disciples. Slowly, over time, and through a process, Jesus changed these rough-edged fishermen into world-changing apostles. You know, sometimes I think it's easy to look at the disciples and to think, man, we could never do what they did, and we could never live how they lived. They must have had some kind of superhuman Christian powers. But that's actually not the case at all. That's not the case at all. As you read the Gospels and you read the stories of these men, you will see that they were just ordinary and average men like you and like me. And they had issues, a lot of them. And they had struggles, a lot of them. You know, some were cowards. Some were cowards. They dealt with fear. You can see that by the way that they ran and hid when Jesus was taken away to be crucified. Some were greedy and prideful. They wanted to know who was going to get the seat of honor next to Jesus in heaven. Is it me? It's got to be me, right? Me, pick me. Some lacked faith. Even after walking daily with Jesus and seeing the miracles, they still needed proof to believe that he had risen. Like he said, these were real people in real life whose faith was growing over time, just like you, just like me. But eventually, answering the call of Jesus took these disciples to greater depths than they could have ever imagined. Following Jesus changed them. You see, the cowards, they became bold and were even martyred for Christ. The prideful, oh, they were humbled as they learned to be content in whatever position they found themselves in for the sake of their Savior. And then their faith was strengthened and they went on not only to watch miracles, but to actually perform miracles in the name of Jesus. You see, this change in the disciples is one of the major differences between Jesus and the other rabbis of that day. You see, the other rabbis, they could not bring true inner transformation to their followers. But Jesus came along and he paved the way for God's transformative power to be unleashed in their lives and in our lives today. You see, his Spirit comes to live inside of all who believe in him and accept his call to follow him. And he begins to transform us from the inside out. One of my favorite scriptures is 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "And the Lord who is the Spirit makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image." He makes us more and more like him as we're changed into his glorious image. You see, when you answer the call, the call to truly follow Jesus, he remakes you in his image. You become like him. He changes you. So my question for you today is this: are you being changed? Are you being changed? Are you the same as you were when you first met Christ? I would challenge you, if so, to take a look at your life and how closely you have been following Jesus. Because there's one thing I know. I know that a life that is following Jesus is a life that's being changed. A life that is following Jesus is a life that is being changed. And we're talking about the call today and the call that was initiated by a command from Jesus to just follow him, to spend time with him, to imitate his attitudes and beliefs and to do what he did. And with that call comes a cost. There is a price to pay for being a disciple. It will cost our comfort. It will cost our convenience and our security. And most of all, it will cost our obedience. But we can willingly pay that price, knowing that when we answer the call to follow Jesus, we will be changed. We will be changed. We will have a change in our purpose, and we will begin to change personally as we start the process of becoming more and more like Jesus every single day. You know, we've all been called. Every one of you have been called, and there is no way to know how deep or how far answering that call is going to take you. But I believe with all my heart, if any of these four disciples that we talked about today, if they were here right now, they would tell us that it was the best decision of their lives. I think if they were here today, they would point to that moment when they dropped their nets and they chose to follow Jesus as the turning point towards everything that was good in their entire existence. They'd say it was worth it. My prayer for us today is that we would do the same as the disciples, that we would decide to answer the call and to follow Jesus.